So we're going to start tonight by reading a koan from the Hekigan Roku. And this is koan number 20. And the title of this, these are Japanese names, they're a little hard to pronounce. Ryuge asks Suibi and Rinzai. That's the title. Ryuge asks Suibi and Rinzai. So the case goes like this. Ryuge asked Suibi, "What is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West?" Suibi, who incidentally is a very experienced Zen master, and Ryuge is a younger student of some accomplishment, we think. So Suibi says, "Pass me the Zazen brace." Ryuge passed the brace to Suibi, who took it and hit him with it. Ryuge said, "You may strike me if you like, but in essence, there is no meaning to Bodhidharma's coming from the West." Ryuge asked Rinzai, you all know this famous Zen master, "What is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West?" Rinzai said, "Pass me the cushion." Ryuge passed the cushion to Rinzai, who took it and hit him with it. Ryuge said, "You may strike me if you like, but after all, there's no meaning to Bodhidharma's coming from the West." That's the case. So this case deals with, at least to some extent, the whole notion of meaning. I frequently will talk about that, this meaning as the thing that needs to be dropped away in order to come down under, to stop floating in the thinking sphere and begin to penetrate in your Zazen. It's really kind of turning around. It's the very beginning of turning around, and something that my teacher Richard Clark would say from time to time is the mistake that we're all making is looking south trying to find the North Star. As long as you're turning south, you can't see the North Star, obviously. It's in the north. So if you want to see what is called true nature, or your Buddha nature, or truth, or your true self with a capital S, you have to know the direction to look. Now, this direction outward at the elaboration of thinking and meanings, as powerful as it is not the direction to look if you're trying to find this fundamental nature. So this koan is in a very, almost a humorous way, but certainly a creative way, dealing with this issue of, in practice, learning to drop meaning. Now, what takes the place of meaning if we drop meaning? And that's a big thing, dropping meaning. Meaning is everything. Meaning is why we get dressed in the morning, why we eat breakfast, why we go to our car, how we turn it on, where we drive to, what we do at work, what we say to people we meet, on and on and on and on. After work, you go home, turn on MSNBC or CNN, watch the political season, and more meanings are being thrown out almost shamelessly left and right of all different types. So we are immersed in a world of meanings. And then we come here and we are told, if you want to see this deep truth that is present through everything but hidden from view, you must drop the thing hiding it, which is meaning. And it's very tough initially to get on that wavelength, always moving south to stop and turn around and start to move north. So this koan deals with that. Let's go into it a little bit more. So once again, this Ryuge is a monk. And if you read other commentaries on this koan, and I think it's probably true, this is a monk of some accomplishment. He wouldn't be challenging these very experienced, seasoned Zen masters. Zen masters are scary people in China of the Tang Dynasty. So he wouldn't even begin to challenge them in the way he is, confront them in the way he is, had he not had some kind of understanding that he probably felt was very thorough. And he was going to show these masters how much he knew and even try to trap them. A lot of these koan involve what is called Dharma combat, which is a way that practitioners of old would refine each other. They would refine each other through throwing out a statement as a challenge and seeing how the response comes. And all of this is very spontaneous and yet coming from a deep source. And each knows by the end of the combat, first of all, who, in quotes, won, who really had a grasp of this thing, and who is grasping at straws or pretending. So this comes out very clearly in most of these Dharma combats. So this is actually kind of Dharma combat. So Ryuge asks Suibi, what is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West, which is a classic question in Zen Buddhism. You could even do it as a koan. What is the meaning? See how we start with meaning. Bodhidharma was the first Zen patriarch. He brought Buddhism to China after a very arduous trip from India. He was the 28th Indian patriarch. He brought Buddhism to China and thereby became the first Zen patriarch. Now, back then it was called Chan in Chinese, and later when it came to Japan, it was transliterated, the word Chan, which came from Sanskrit jhana, meaning absorption, which is the core of this turning around, this dropping of meaning and moving north. Dhyana was called Chan in Chinese, Zen in Japanese. So this question, what is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West being China, India. What was the meaning of it? Why did he do it? What was his purpose? What was the result of this? What was he pointing out? And all of those things are subsumed under this word meaning, meaning. Now this presumes that Bodhidharma had a meaning. That would certainly seem sensible, wouldn't it? Almost all of us do things for a meaning, for a reason. We have a plan, we have a goal, we map out a path. There's some understanding of what this, the value of the goal, all of these things. All of this depends upon meaning, meaning thinking, conceptualizing, comparison, the opposites of better versus worse, right versus wrong, love versus hate, all of these things that come into play in order to create meaning, to put meaning onto a world that in existentialism is called absurd. And we humans add meaning. So this question has a little hook in it, that Bodhidharma actually had a meaning. Now all of these koan-like statements or questions have hooks. The hook is there, but it can only trap one kind of thing. It can only trap a thinking mind, a conceptualizing mind, a mind that is separated, a mind that's divided between I'm on one side, there's a dividing line, and everything else is on the other side. And these hooks grab that. So this hook is grabbing the hook of meaning. So Suibi, the great master, said, pass me the Zazen brace. So what's a Zazen brace, first of all? This is a Zazen brace is an implement that was used in old China, I suppose, in the Zen monasteries. People would sit for many, many hours. Sometimes they'd sit all night. During Rohatsu, you would never sleep. Rohatsu would be the seven-day sesshin that ends on December 8th, which is the Buddha's enlightenment day. And this tends to be a very rigorous sesshin. And these sesshins, monks in these monasteries that were very stern and had very hard discipline, hard practice, they would never lie down for 7 days. So they had this thing called a zazen brace. And it was kind of a piece of wood that would go on your knee or in front of your knees and under your chin. And you'd be in the zazen posture, kind of prop you up so you wouldn't fall over. You're probably close to falling over all the time in Rahatsu. And so at night, I guess they would use these zazen braces. It was just a common object. So Ryugei asked the question of Suibi, and Suibi answers it this way: pass me the zazen brace. So Ryugei passed the brace to Suibi, who took it and hit him with it. What's this? What's going on here? So one of the things about these koan is that there aren't any wasted words, there aren't any wasted sentences. It is so packed with information, paradox, puzzling actions, each of which, if you grasp them with the mind of awakening, are making a very clear statement. So it's not just a random thing that Suibi said, pass me the zazen brace. And now the mind says, well, why do you want him to pass me the zazen brace? What is it about that brace? You see how the mind starts to figure out a meaning to it? So what you have to do is really, in a sense, zoom out and see the bigger picture here. There's a student asking about the meaning of the deepest meaning of Buddhism. And Suibi says, pass me the zazen brace. It doesn't seem to be answering his question. But in this strange realm where meaning is left behind and we begin to point in a direction that looks away from meaning, then this action makes every bit of sense. So let's go into this. Now, I've said this before, that when you first sit down in zazen, you have many thoughts going through your mind. Everybody does. Coming from the outside world, various things happen to you during the day, or things are about to happen, they're on your mind, trying to settle down. And oftentimes you'll find that the more you try to push the thoughts away, the worse they get, and then you get into a tizzy over it. So what I have learned over many, many years, and suggest to all of you, is that you never do battle with thinking. Just drop off the meaning. Thinking is fine. It's a secretion of an organ. The organ happens to be the brain. Secretion of the salivary glands is saliva. Now, you may not want to have your mouth salivate while you're doing zazen, but you never think twice about it. You just swallow the saliva. So why do battle with a secretion of an awake human brain, which is thinking? The brain is constantly creating thinking. And we promote it and get entangled in it when we begin to look into the meaning of the thinking. And then it leads to the next thought and the next thought and the next thought, and you're on a slippery slope, and we all know this. So I say, don't battle the thinking. Just drop off the meaning. You don't have to do the meaning side of it. And as a matter of fact, if you start to pay attention to the actual sensation, your awareness of thinking, and the sensation is not like touch, and it's not like sound, it's not like sight, and it's not like smell or flavor. It has its own unique sensory quality. And the mind is actually, in Buddhism, the sixth sense. So you have the five ordinary senses and the sixth sense. They always speak of six senses. Sixth sense is mind and its objects, which are thoughts. Okay, so the objects of eye are sights, ears, sounds, etc., etc. Mind is thoughts. So thoughts are going to happen. But we take one step further with thought. We give it meaning. Now, the thought arose because of causes and conditions, all the different things that occurred, all things we've been taught, the way our brain is wired, how awake we are, how depressed we are, how happy, all these things affect what thoughts are going to be secreted in a given moment. And most of the time, they're just freaking random. They just flit from one thing to the other. That's called discursive thinking. So we're going to use this thinking now. We're not going to do battle with it, because that's actually giving it another kind of meaning, that it's bad. You're saying thinking is bad. I'm trying to do zazen. You're disturbing me. You see? Now we're getting caught in a whole other set of meanings. Meta-meanings, you might say. There's the meaning of the thinking, and then there's the meaning of my zazen, which in my mind means I'm not going to be thinking, I'm going to be focusing. And then this thought is disturbing me, so it's bad. So you see, meaning layered on meaning layered on meaning. And we're off and running. We are floating in the thought cloud, and we can't get down underneath it. So we don't add that meaning that thoughts are bad and I need to get rid of them. We simply observe them, meaning experience them. Now, the minute we go from meaning to sensation, we are beginning to turn north. Sensation is the doorway to your true self. Why? Sensation is like a coin. It has one side that faces towards thinking and meaning. That's the name you give something, the importance that you give it, how you relate to it, whether you like it or don't like it, etc., etc. That would be like the side of the coin that has an embossing on it, the head of the coin. So this sensation is a something which, when I'm in the thinking sphere looking south, I give meaning, name, etc., etc. But it has another side that has no embossing. What side is that? So we have sensation. Looking south, sensations mean something. They connote something. We define them. We run from them. We cling to them. We reject them. We ignore them. The flip side is what? Sensation is, presents, is shining something. Shining something. So the moment we just drop off the meaning, begin to look at the thinking, which is a sensation, a thinking sensation, we begin to notice that the thinking sensation is here in this present moment. That's called mindfulness. It's taking the so-called object, or the sensation, and noticing its presence. That is the very essence of what mindfulness is. I've never seen this written anywhere, I've never heard anyone talk about it. I found it on my own. When you observe the presence of anything, that is mindfulness, that's the essence of mindfulness. Now, we don't stop there. We don't stop there, but let's stop here for just a sec. Go back to the koan. So Suibi said, pass me the zazen brace. Pass me the zazen brace. Now, if Ryuge was a really smart guy and wasn't in a very subtle way still trapped in meaning, and we'll go into this, he would have done one of two things. Pass me the zazen brace, reach for the brace, hand it over. Okay? No meaning there, no thinking there. There's a question and then a response. It's very direct. It's actually sensory. Pass me the brace. Okay, here. Like that. But now the other thing he could do is he could take that brace and he could whack Suibi with it. He could already anticipate what Sweeby's going to do with this brace, because it's obvious from this encounter what Sweepy's driving at. So in this Zen combat, Ryuge could have put an end to everything right at that moment by picking up the brace and whacking Suibi with it. Why? What is it about whacking someone with a Zazen brace that answers the question, what is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? What is it about that? What happens when you get whacked with a Zazen brace? It hurts. You feel, ow! Where's the meaning there? That may come later, maybe a fraction of a thought second later, but at the very moment of your being struck, it is just completely 100% ow! You're plunged in that ow. That's called positive samadhi. That's being in a sensation, being in the presence of it, not stepping back, not in Zen parlance falling into the secondary, beginning to think about it and what does it mean and he hates me, I'm going to get him back and all the rest of it, going down the so-called primrose path. So what did Ryuge do? He passed the brace to Suibi. That's good. I would say good. You know, you'd want the brace, here's the brace. And Suibi took it and hit him with it. Okay, next challenge. So Suibi says, all right, you didn't hit me. You didn't say this, but I'm looking at this sort of subtext. Ryuge passed me the brace. He missed it. He didn't hit me with it. I'm just going to whack him with it. So Suibi's just showing him. Is he answering? He said, what's the meaning? Well, I whacked you with the Zazen brace. Isn't that enough? Evidently for Ryuge it wasn't, because he said, you may strike me if you like, but in essence there is no meaning to Bodhidharma's coming from the West. Now does he really understand that, or is he caught in meaning? Sometimes the no meaning can be meaning. The notion, the clinging to no meaning, can be its own kind of meaning. It's a stuck place. It's a memory of some experience you had before, and you hold on to it. You hold on to it in words. So the whole point of Zazen, as we start to move in this direction of greater and greater understanding of this deep truth, this true self, it tends to coalesce around a memory of an experience, and then words to describe it. Those words sometimes help us because they bring us back to the experience. But the whole point of Zazen is to get underneath all of that and go back to the bleeding edge of that experience. Constantly going underneath all the meanings, all the understandings, to the actual sensation. Flip that over, see it is, and see what I mean by it is. The sensation is means it appears to me. It appears. It has a quality of being known, which is empty. It is only in this present moment. It has nothing to do with future past. It's only in this now of absolute time. And most importantly, it's intimate. If it doesn't appear to me, it doesn't appear. End of story. And we use sensation to begin to work back into this place, which I call turning the light of the mind in on itself, taking a backward step. This is how we do Zazen, to penetrate into this place. So I'm describing it to you in words, and Suibi described it by whacking Ryuge. Very direct. He's a better teacher than I am, for sure. And Ryuge had his response, be it good or bad. There's no meaning true. In essence, there is no meaning true. But the moment you know that and assert it and think about it and make it a belief, all right, then it becomes like any other religion. You're told something, you hold to it, there's no flexibility there. Whether you are experiencing it or not in that moment, it becomes a belief and you hold on to it. If it's challenged, you're going to get really pissed off. And that's called religion. And that's not what Zen is. So now Ryuge persists, and this persistence is actually a wonderful quality. It's a certain kind of fearlessness, and it's a certain kind of doggedness, and it's a deep commitment. He's the real deal, this Ryuge. He just needs to be refined quite a bit, and this is true in our practice. We will, at various points, have some real deepenings or suddenly break open some piece of the truth that we didn't see before so clearly. Sometimes it's very overwhelming, sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it seeps in, like you're walking through rain and you suddenly realize you're soaking wet. But we will very frequently, as I said before, hold on to this, conceptualize it, try to freeze it, try to remember it, try to hold it, turn it into a belief, and then all of a sudden we're back in the whole religion sphere. And our Zazen practice, our wonderful Dharma friends and teachers, help us moving forward. Keep putting it down, moving into a deeper place of not knowing, a deeper penetration. This is what Zazen is. It's a continual process. So he goes to Rinzai now. What is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? And Rinzai says, pass me the cushion. And now, by this point, Ryuge should know what's coming. So he passes him the cushion, and once again, Rinzai takes it and hits him with it. Now, there's a wonderful thing here. There's a consistency between one master in one place and another master in another place. They're both going straight to the truth. Straight to the truth. And Ryuge sticks to his point, too. He says, you may strike me if you like, but after all, there's no meaning to Bodhidharma's coming from the West. So, Ryuge has some wonderful qualities and probably has had quite an insight and has not yet developed the depth, the fluidity, the flexibility of the teachers that he's seeking to be taught by. And hopefully there was a next step after these comments, and he began to see the subtlety of meaning. It's another issue. Meaning is very tightly stuck to things. Most often we don't see it. We think it is the thing itself. We think it's the thing itself because we don't slow it down, look close enough to see it's added on. We take it for granted in a way. So part of this process of Zazen is to look very closely, zoom in tight, see exactly what's happening, and go to the actual experience, letting go of meaning. This is a not knowing place. It's a kind of an imbecilic place. I've described that before. There's an imbecilic nature to it, a little bit like Forrest Gump. It's just, there's a thought and you experience the thought. There's a sound and you experience the sound. You start to get into the actual experience and not be concerned about where it's coming from, what it signifies. It's kind of like being stoned in a way. You are so into the actual experience that the superficial way of dealing with it that you do chronically in your life starts to drop away. But here we do it with all mental clarity, with all intensity. So this is a very important thing that this koan is pointing out, is the importance of turning north, putting down meaning, immediately grasping the truth of this moment, this sensation, and moving from there. So we will end there tonight and say the four vows.